Welcome to another episode of Disrupt. I'm Andrew Donald with Home Healthcare News. Before we jump into my conversation with Ryan Iwamoto, the president and co-founder of 24-Hour Home Care, I want to give a shout-out to our podcast sponsor, Homecare Homebase, whose powerful, cloud-based home health software streamlines virtually every aspect of your business. Spend less time on paperwork and more time delivering quality care to the patients who need you. Visit hchb.com to learn more. Under Ryan Iwamoto's leadership, 24-Hour Home Care has gone from $160,000 in funding and a dream to a home care company that exists in three states and employs over 10,000 caregivers. The Los Angeles-based company has been mentioned as one of Inc. magazine's fastest-growing companies in eight straight years. That growth has been completely organic, which makes 24-Hour Home Care's journey unique. Iwamoto believes that his company has been successful for a reason, its secret sauce, if you will. In this conversation, we get to what that secret sauce is, how the company has adapted during COVID, how it wins M&A and hospital partnerships, and much more. So without further ado, let's get into it. Okay, Ryan, let's start with you. How did you get into the world of home care in the first place? And also, how did you become an entrepreneur?
Well, thanks, Andrew. And first of all, thank you for allowing me to have this opportunity to be on Home Healthcare News. I'm a big follower of your publication and your podcast and appreciate the chance to share my story. So actually, my entrepreneur story starts as a kid. I was big on the lemonade stands, selling my baseball cards to my friends and to my brother. But I think my serious business came in middle school. So at the time, I was one of the first on my block to have the internet, which has its advantages. Of course, it was the dial-up. But one of the sites that I came across was a site that gave codes for video games, these cheat codes. And what I ended up doing was printing out those codes and selling them to my friends in my school. Yeah, for about a buck a piece for those codes. I was a big video game fan. My friends were all about the video games. So in middle school, selling those codes, I probably sold about $100 worth of codes. Like, it was a huge business for me. And anytime you're making $100 in middle school money, that's a huge success. But I also learned too that you have to protect your business and learn some lessons there, because one thing that I started seeing notice happen was kids started to Xerox the codes at the library and start selling them to other people for cheaper. So I noticed that, and one of the things that I started doing was printing my codes on bright colored paper. And I don't know if you've ever tried to Xerox something on bright colored paper, but Andrew, when you do that, it just comes out all black. So I had to find a way to protect my business, but that was my first venture in really starting a business. Now, I think my home care story starts actually in college. So like most college students, I had no idea what I wanted to do. And honestly, I can tell you, Andrew, being a home care owner was not on that list. But I do remember vividly as a freshman in college, I got a call from my mom. And she told me that she was actually interested in starting a franchise with my aunt, her sister. It was a Home Instead franchise. And again, as a freshman in college, no idea what home care was. I had no idea what caregiving was, but she did tell me about the opportunity and the industry, right? She was telling me every single day, 10,000 people turned 65. More people are living longer. People want to live in the home. So the opportunity made sense. You know, she didn't end up doing that, but I do want you guys to keep that in mind because it does come full circle. So flash forward a few years later, when I graduated college, again, still didn't know what I wanted to do. I was thinking about teaching and teaching English in Japan, but ended up not getting that job. So I was really upset about that. And I ended up moving back home and looking for a job and getting some experience. So one of the first companies that I interviewed with was a company called Maxim Healthcare Services. And when I was interviewing with Maxim, one of the things that became really clear was the things that they were doing sounded very similar to what my mom was telling me about several years ago when she was going to look to do the franchise. And to be honest, I don't know if I would have taken that job if I didn't hear that information from my mom several years ago. So I ended up taking that job at Maxim, and I started out as a healthcare recruiter for their non-medical home care division, what they called their companion division. So I learned a lot, failed forward many times, but then also saw the opportunity of where home care can go. And in addition to that time while I was at Maxim, I also had the personal challenge and need to find home care for my late grandmother, and also saw the challenge of finding quality care. And I was in the industry. So I think having that personal lens of finding care for my grandmother, and then also having the professional lens working at Maxim and seeing the opportunity, really helped shape my personal why for starting 24-hour home care. So ended up, you know, working my way up in Maxim, became a manager, launched one of their South Bay, Los Angeles offices. And then after about 3 years of working with Maxim, I decided to leave with my manager at the time, which is David Allerby, who's my co-partner here at 24. And we decided to build upon what we learned at Maxim and launch a home care company. So we some self-funding and some family funding investment, which was about $160,000. We launched 24-hour home care back in 2008. And then flash forward 12 years later, we're about a $115 million organization. We're in three states. We serve about 10,000 clients every single year and employ over 10,000 caregivers throughout the year as well. And all of that growth has been done organically with no other outside investment.
Yeah, fantastic. And for, I think, at least 3 or 4 years recently, you guys have been in Inc.'s top 5,000 fastest growing companies. So like you said, the growth is organic, but it's also consistent. What's some more background on 24-hour home care? What is your business like for people that aren't familiar with the company?
Yeah, so 24-hour home care, we're a non-medical home care company that has two major lines of business. Our senior care division that mainly deals with our private pay personal care services. And then we have our disability services division that focuses on adults and children with developmental disabilities. This service is state funded from the Regional Centers of California. And then in terms of our background, so when Dave and I were at Maxim, it was very clear that home care was very fragmented. On one end of the spectrum, you had a very large nationwide home health companies like Maxim that were also doing home care. And then on the opposite end of the spectrum, you had your mom and pops or franchises, more of the smaller ones that were doing it. There really wasn't anything in between. So when we started 24, we wanted to combine the professionalism of a large company like a Maxim with the personalization of a mom and pop or small business. And then when we're thinking about what company did this well in any industry, you know, there weren't really many that came to mind, but there was one. And that company was Trader Joe's. And imagine, Andrew, you know Trader Joe's.
Oh, yeah.
Okay. So everyone loves Trader Joe's. And they did an amazing job of being your grocery store, even though there's Trader Joe's across the country. But the one in your neighborhood, you identify that one as your Trader Joe's. And their model was brilliant too, right? They were not the cheapest. They're not your 99-cent grocery store market. And of course, they're not your Whole Foods. But they did a really good job of offering quality products at competitive prices. And then most importantly, the people that you deal with is their secret sauce. The people are super engaged, super helpful, motivated, and at least seem to be happy to work at Trader Joe's. Mm-hmm. And that was something that we really wanted to emulate at 24. So to give you an example, you go to a supermarket, you know, your big chain supermarket, and you ask one of their employees, hey, where can I find some almond butter? What they're probably going to do is just say, hey, aisle 8. When you're in a Trader Joe's, you ask that person, hey, where can I find the almond butter? Not only are they going to take you to that aisle, they're going to have a conversation with you about almond butter and probably introduce you to other things like cashew butter, sunflower butter. And we wanted to have that same experience for our clients and our caregivers. We wanted to be the Trader Joe's of home care.
Okay. And yeah, it's funny. I just moved somewhere else where Trader Joe's down my block and they have a line up the door virtually at every single point when they're open during the day. And I agree with you on that front, not to give them too much pub, but So is that the specific thing that you think made 24-hour home care successful, was the people?
Absolutely. Just like Trader Joe's, it's our people. We actually have a motto here at 24, which is care and compete. And every employee has a little bit of both to work here. On the care side, you have to care for your, we call the four C's, your clients, your caregivers, your colleagues, and of course, the community. And on the compete side, I mean, to be quite frank, we are a for-profit, but mission-driven company. So you have to be competitive and you need to be able to compete. And then this is not just competing, you know, in your traditional sense of competing with your industry competitors, but also to compete with yourself to be a better version of yourself every day. So I like to say those two values are the two threads that are interwoven to make the fabric of our culture. And that is what really made us successful.
Do you think you'd be able to launch in the same way today with everything going on in terms of COVID, you know, the regulatory hurdles and other continued labor challenges? I know that despite your guys' culture, you guys still have those labor challenges in terms of staffing. So do you think you'd be able to launch today in the same way that you did back, what, 12 years ago?
Yeah, I mean, to be honest, Andrew, probably not. Everyone on this listening right now knows home care is not easy. And when I started the company with David, I was 26 during the heart of the recession. The one thing that you don't have on your side is experience. But the one thing that you do have on your side, being 26 and starting a brand new company in the recession, is just this blind ambition. I mean, we really didn't know any better, but we kept pushing forward. We'd fail a few times, but again, fail forward and keep adapting to our circumstances. And I think that's what's helped create the mentality that we've had today, that with any challenge comes an opportunity. And with COVID-19, I think we've seen the same thing. You just have to find that opportunity to rise above it. And once you get more established and more experienced, I think you get a little bit more set in your ways and maybe more resistant to change. So yeah, it would be a lot harder going into it with a little bit more experience now.
Okay, so most of your business comes from private pay, but you've also invested heavily in Medicare Advantage. Why did you see that as an opportunity for growth, and how is that going overall?
Yeah, we're extremely bullish on Medicare Advantage. And one of the things that I love to see is really the needle start to move for our health systems to see the benefit and value of home care. Medicare adding home care as a supplemental benefit a couple of years ago, I think is a huge leap forward. And as a company, we're truly honored to be able to work with some of the plans like Anthem to help create the benefit. So we're actually in a planning session with some of the Anthem folks to work with them to help create that supplemental home care benefit. And, you know, you guys did an article on us a few months ago, actually. And I think in that article, we shared that this is not a significant portion of our revenue, but being a part of this mission to show the value of home care is why we do it. And 5 to 10 years down the line, to see this as your standard insurance Medicare benefit, that's what keeps me going every day. And if you think about it, you know, when Medicare was established in the early 60s or mid 60s, outpatient PT wasn't a Medicare benefit. Programs were put together, pilots were made to show the benefit of outpatient PT, and then in the late 60s, it was added. Hospice didn't become a Medicare benefit until the 1980s. So several years down the line before people really saw the value in it. But, you know, people put programs together, people put pilots together to show the value of hospice. And now today, people don't think differently. It's just assumed as a benefit. And I'm very confident home care will follow suit. And we're already seeing it start to happen with Medicare Advantage and some of the health systems working with home care companies. And I'm excited to be able to help pioneer this for the industry.
Okay, so your partnerships have been innovative, from those MA ones and also to your partnership with in-home primary care provider Heal. I've covered a lot of these. Particularly though, your partnerships with hospitals have been crucial. How did those come about and why are those so unique?
Yeah, so I'm actually reminded that you asked this question. I went to a conference and it was one of the speakers was talking about innovation. And he was a business innovator that was on stage. And he had this quote that said, Renaissance innovators like Da Vinci leveraged their own resources and those they discovered around them to create solutions the world has never seen before. Innovators are the world's noticers. And what I love about that quote is that innovation is far from invention, but it's leveraging the technology or partners or additional people that do things maybe better than you and connect the dots to bring solutions. And I think that's what we do pretty well. Again, not comparing ourselves to Leonardo da Vinci, but it's about noticing certain opportunities and connecting the dots. So in 2015, we knew transportation was an issue for our hospital partners. We were the first home care company in the world to partner with Uber and eventually Lyft down the road. And we created our Ride with 24 program. With that program, we've contracted with over 100 plus organizations, including about 40 plus hospitals like UCLA, Cedars-Sinai, Mayo Clinic, to provide this service where they can now leverage on-demand transportation. We didn't invent rideshare, but we saw the opportunity and we connected the dots where there was an unmet need. And then in 2017, we partnered with Cedars-Sinai, which is a large hospital here in the LA area, to pilot a program called Care Extenders. Cedars-Sinai Medical Group, their patient population was expanding a lot, and they were trying to find ways to leverage their ambulatory case management team because it's a costly investment, but their patient population was growing. So how do we still manage that effectively without necessarily adding more to the cost to serve a lot of these high-risk patients? So one of the ideas working with us was to leverage our caregivers as the eyes and ears for the Cedars-Sinai ambulatory case managers to help them reduce hospital readmissions, to prevent some high-risk patients from becoming frequent flyers. And the program was a huge success. And to put it into numbers, the cost of the entire Care Extenders pilot program was exactly the cost of one admission from one of these high-risk patients. And we had over 50 documented patient saves that prevented readmission. And again, showing the value of home care. And I'm really happy to say, as of today, this is a full-fledged program with the Cedars-Sinai Medical Group team. And I think this goes to show, back to what I was earlier saying, is that we want to show the value, and our goal is to show that home care can be a benefit that can be leveraged by health plans and by medical groups in the near future.
Yeah, that's fantastic. And also, you know, home care providers across the country provide great services, but a lot of the times they're not able to document it. Like you just said, they're not able to show demonstrably what they're able to do. And your ability to do that is a game changer. Now, on the COVID front, which I originally was going to say now for the dreaded COVID talk, but I don't have to because you guys recently released some great news that 24-hour home care compiled data from 2,614 caregivers who provided over 815,000 hours of in-home care during the pandemic between March 9th and September 9th. Those caregivers dealt with a lot of COVID-19 positive patients and yet still had just a 0.06% transmission rate. What were the keys to success on that front? And also, what does that mean going forward in your opinion?
Yeah, so I want to add too, even with that 0.06 transmission reported, all of them have recovered 100%. So I want to give credit to that too, of doing a really good job of making sure that they recover. But so COVID was a very interesting and unprecedented time for all of us, and not just with home care, but for all industries. And I think there's really three different lessons that I've learned during this time that I'll be more than happy to share. I think one, especially as leaders, is not to wait to take action. And then sometimes the CEOs and leaders to a fault, you know, we want to ensure that all of our decisions are correct. You know, we have the whole burden of the company on our shoulders. And I think we fall into the trap of waiting to have all the answers. But I learned, especially during this unprecedented time, is that crisis does allow you to take bold actions that you definitely wouldn't have taken during blue sky scenarios. So I think the first thing that comes to mind is going remote. We were very fast to go remote. And I will preface, Andrew, that our company was definitely not set up to go remote. We worked within the offices. We had these large desktop computers with multiple monitors. And if you would have asked me beforehand, you know, could you guys be remote? And I would have told you absolutely not, Andrew. But we were able to do it. We were able to maybe not have all the answers, but have enough answers to say, hey, this is the right thing to do. And we need to protect our staff and protect their safety. And going remote was the right thing. So we did it all in 5 days, which was truly incredible. And a huge shout out to our IT team. That was a team of two people at the time. So yeah, we really made that work by taking action. And then also interviewing virtually, not just our caregivers, but also with our clients and doing the assessments. Again, pre-COVID, I would have never thought we can do this virtually. But COVID and being in this scenario made you think boldly and how can we make this work in this new normal? And yeah, now all of our interviews are done virtually with our caregivers, and we've been able to make it work with a lot of success. And I would say the majority of our consultations with families about care is now virtual. So again, don't wait to take action. This kind of aligns to the second key that I wanted to share is more is lost in indecision than the wrong decision. So when I learned the gravity of the coronavirus, I just got to be honest with you, Andrew, I was paralyzed. You know, we employ over 10,000 caregivers that care for 10,000 high-risk seniors and adults and children with developmental disabilities. So I felt like I was carrying this huge burden along with David to make sure that we're steering this company in the right direction. And our company's purpose is to impact people's lives by making a difference every day. But how do you do that during a pandemic? There's no book on how to solve for that. So I think everyone was scared, including me. And I also just want to share a story too. I remember in one of our task force meetings, my CFO / CEO, Jackie Davis, she asked me, Ryan, there's no way that we're taking on COVID-19 patients, right? Because she was just so concerned about the risk of the caregivers and the clients and the transmission risk. And at the time, yeah, we weren't planning on doing it. But as more information started coming out about COVID-19 and we started making small steps to learn more about it and put in protocols to make sure that everyone was safe doing it, we slowly started taking on, first it was COVID positive that no longer have the symptoms. Then it led to COVID positive that was symptomatic, where we started to provide care for. But it took a lot of planning and it took a lot of going with our guts and making sure we're going with the right decision. And yeah, we made the decision to take on COVID-19 patients. And in my belief, it was the right decision. And with some of the stats that you just shared, I feel like it was the right decision. And I think the third component is finding new ways to add value. So, you know, I've been on social media a lot during COVID-19 and these stay-at-home orders. And I remember seeing like a quote saying, this is from JFK, saying that in the Chinese language, the word crisis is composed of two characters, one representing danger and the other opportunity. So for us, COVID opened up opportunities to work with companies that could help us care for our community in ways beyond our core services, such as home care. So I'll give you one example. COVID-19 made seniors become socially isolated in their homes, as we all know. We also know that an estimated 5.3 million seniors that are food insecure in this country, meaning that they don't have access to nutritious foods and or go hungry every single night, which is a problem. And to solve this issue for our clients and other seniors in the community, we ended up partnering with food delivery giant Grubhub to create Grub with 24, which is an on-demand food delivery service for seniors without the need of a smartphone or the food delivery app of Grubhub. So instead of just using the app, you can call us and we can make an order for you and you can do it with a live person. And again, this is similar to exactly what we did with Uber in our Ride with 24 program.
Okay, great. And props to you for taking on COVID patients almost immediately. What kind of financial impact has COVID had on 24-hour home care this year? I'm guessing your resource use has gone up considerably. And also, you know, I assume things like transportation went down, at least originally.
Yeah, so just off the bat, we lost probably about 20% of our business on the senior care side. So definitely a scary time. I don't think I've ever seen on a week-to-week basis our hours go down as much as they've gone down, probably, you know, between March to to May. But for all the things that I mentioned earlier, we have become a stronger business because of this. And it's really forced me and my leadership team to step up and be stronger leaders. So in the long run, yeah, I think it's going to have a very positive impact with our company and our industry. And I think it's allowed us to also have these conversations to, again, show this theme of showing value of home care in our health system. And I think COVID-19 is going to allow us to do that even more.
Okay, great. And so in terms of 2021, what's in the cards for growth, any new programs? What's your guys' plan for next year?
Yeah, well, I think first it's figuring out what this new normal looks like for us. So actually right before this call, I was on another call with the leadership team about, you know, what is the plan? Are we going to be remote? Are we going to be coming back to the office? It's going to be a little bit of both. So we're still really looking to make those types of decisions. And obviously with safety as the main lens that we look at, I also do think there's a huge opportunity for acquisitions. I know there are a lot of home care companies that were unfortunately hit hard by COVID-19. And I think we have an opportunity to help them through partnering with us. And actually, in fact, we're just closing in on a merger for a company in San Diego as we speak. So we're already starting to see this happen.
Oh, wow. Okay, great. And then final question, Ryan, in terms of the presidential election, which is obviously on everyone's minds right now, what are you looking at it? How are you looking at it from a home care perspective? What do you think could change based on either President Trump being reelected or a new administration coming in, Joe Biden?
Yes, of course, we got to get the presidential election question, right? But, you know, starting the business, you know, we've gone through three presidents from GW to Obama and now Trump. And I think I acknowledge with every election, there's going to be some change, of course.
Right.
And there's also going to be change that you're just not going to have really any control over.
Mm-hmm.
And at least for me, I try not to get so bogged down thinking of what may or may not come. Not to say you should plan, but I really try not to get bogged down because just if it's out of your control, it's out of your control. So where my mind goes with any of this, whether it's the election or crisis or change, is that with change comes opportunity. And again, you just have to find it.
Okay. And also, you know, hopefully just through the election cycle, the greatest thing that's happened for home care is that it's had more publicity than it usually does, than it usually has in the past. Okay. That's all I have for you, Ryan. Thank you so much for joining me. I really appreciate it.
Thank you, Andrew. Happy to be here. And thank you again for having me on as a guest on your podcast.
Thanks for listening to this episode of Disrupt. For more news and insights on the home health, home care, and hospice industries, subscribe to our daily or weekly newsletters at homehealthcarenews.com. I'm Andrew Dolan, and this has been a production of Aging Media Network, Chicago, Illinois.